Hello, welcome to the Risington Podcast, episode 9.
10. Keep going.
Hello, welcome to the Risington Podcast, episode 10. We made it to 10. My name's John Hicks, this is my colleague John Oxton.
Hello.
And this is my colleague squadron leader John Dennis in the background.
Hello.
Yeah, you always get a good response from John. It's when Simon's here.
He's not here, is he?
He's a bit kind of like too concentrated on his work, isn't he?
He's not. He's just too self-absorbed. Of course, he's not here to defend himself because he's in Nottingham, isn't he? With those lovely boys from Erskine.
So, yes, episode 10 is brought to you with the big and break tag.
Yes.
And
don't forget the small tag. Well, that's always looked over.
We're going to have 2 weeks. We'll have the next time. Now then, housekeeping. Shout outs. Things before the questions.
Have I got any shout outs? I don't know. Should I?
No one sent us any shit this time.
No. No, they haven't.
No swag.
Fuck them then. Right.
The other thing I was going to say was Boag World relaunched this week.
Boag World.
World of Boag. World
is
of
that
Boag.
How it goes?
World of Sorry. Boag. And I'm listening to it, I was thinking, great, there's so much here. So much to parody and spoof and take the piss out of. And then he went and said something really nice about me, so I thought.
Ah, but he just said nothing about me, so.
So it's up to you to do that. Yeah, so I have put off my plans of. Apart from that great jingle. World of Boag, World of Boag.
I think they had to engineer it to sound more uninterested.
I think Marcus did it, so. I don't think you need to try very hard.
Hey, but at least their logo is quite nice.
Hey! Ching! Excellent. Yeah, so that's really the end of the shout-outs and dingy-tings. So
there's no more questions, and that's the end of the show. Goodbye.
Yes. Bye. Yes.
I bet you the mic didn't pick that up. We're going to have to add the sound effect and the link.
That went really well, I thought, because, you know, there's that two-second delay with instantrimshot.com. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, let's go on with the questions.
Are you going to read the first ones? Go on.
I'll go there. Yeah. Just because you can't do the surname, isn't it?
It's the subject matter scale.
Okay. So the subject is the CMS system's hell and how to master it. And this is from Stefan Reis. I think it's Reis or whatever. Anyway, hi there. I'm still searching for a real designer-friendly CMS system. Text pattern. I did try some sites with WordPress,
Loser.
But it was not such a great experience. Text pattern. Though some people seem to be able to squeeze real nice results from it. I have an intermediate understanding of XHTML, CSS, bit of PHP, mainly copying and twisting from John, Andy, and other skilled British people. Not skilled foreign people. Interesting.
Oh, keep the foreigners out!
No. I'm using Coda for coding. Ray. I am much more a designer, strict information architect than... Then understanding each line of code person.
I've got to stop you there, John. He said information architect, blah, blah, person.
I didn't think it was worth reading that a bit out, but thanks for pointing it out. So would like to be an understand everything person, but have learned a bit about my limitations already. So, question is, which is CMS the best for the designer?
Text pattern.
And why is it better than WordPress? Because it's not WordPress.
Yeah, because it's not WordPress, because it's just better.
Well, I mean, we've covered a few things like this before, but text pattern tags are like using XML or XHTML.
Or HTML.
You know, you've got an opening tag, closing tag, you've got some tags that are single tags.
Self-closing.
You've got attributes within the tags.
Yep.
It all looks and feels just like you're used to, and that's why I think text pattern is the ideal. I think Expression Engine 2... I have to say, I think text pattern's got that edge of, if you're a designer, you know, you can do stuff with the text pattern.
I've just got it. Just quickly reminded me of something. Uh-huh. Remember, forms in text pattern are confusing when you first start.
Oh, like, yes.
Forms are forms. But then there was that Stephen Fry thing about the Gutenberg Press, where he starts off with that little stamp that is described as a form. And that's where I think the name came from there.
It is,
and
yeah.
Once you understand that concept, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It did seem bizarre. The first time you open text pattern, you think, well, why have they got a tab just for forms?
Why is it called forms?
But unless it's actually form building for you, which would be quite nice. But yeah, it's all... Dean Allen, when he first created it, he's very much, you know, coming from a sort of publishing background. So that's how he understood forms, like a mould, something to shape it.
Yes.
Can I do the PS?
Yes.
John, I really liked your future web design presentation. Hey, how long did it take to prepare it? I don't buy into the one day idea. Well, no. Actually, designing and creating the site was about a day, but writing the presentation took ages. And it started off with the Father Ted clip and then grew outwards from there. So that was that. But yeah, to sum up, I would try Expression Engine, but I think text pattern, I think you're best off with, by the sounds of it.
Yes.
So, your turn.
Charlie Slack, this was one. He doesn't sound like a hard worker, does he? Oh, damn it, telephone. Hello? Okay. Hello. Recording podcast, what's up? Okay, see you later. Bye. That was my boss.
At least we've got to explain the outtakes anyway.
Right.
Okay, so start that again.
Oh, but the joke's going to be so bad when I do it the second time. It's going to be so convincing. So what's Charlie Slack? Right. Okay, this one's from Charlie Slack, and he's going on about CSS frameworks. Good, bad, or never heard of them. Charlie Slack, hardworking man.
Yes.
Hi, will I be one of the lucky ones that gets a shout on the next episode when you answer my cunning question? I nearly misread that word. As an ex-member of the RAF, I love the Risington theme and the podcast, of course. I wonder if he knows the Risington place. Thanks for the laughs over the past episodes. Looking forward to the next one. Of course, his question is in the heading, which is a good place to put it.
It's a subject, yeah.
It's a good place, if it's not too long. Yeah. So, CSS frameworks, good, bad, or never heard of them, discussed briefly. Well,
we have touched on frameworks before, generally, haven't we?
We have.
And Blueprint. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I couldn't care less.
I could, because I'm in the process of building one. But I'm absolutely convinced I've done the right thing in starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'd be retrofitting something that doesn't quite fit what I want to do. So yeah, I think they can be excellent. They're very good for prototyping sites as well, because you can get that done very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yes, good.
I always say make your own.
Make your own, yeah, definitely.
But it's not evil to use Blueprint.
No, not at all. I mean, I think I did take a good look at Blueprint before I started mine.
So yeah.
Definitely. And then... Okay. Charlie Slack can go back to his sofa now.
Damn. So, Luke Dorney, it's been a while, but somehow my name keeps popping up in your podcast. Isn't that because you keep sending in questions?
I don't know. Maybe we just love him.
Hang on. I think I should read this one because I might have to cut some of this out. Here's the question. Is it a geek thing or a curse of those what have little spending cash? Why is it that I won't spend money anywhere without doing a bit of research? Stroller, backpack, hard drive, car parts... Prices, ratings, reviews, stars, pluses and minuses, it's all a bit of an overload. Good question. Do you do that when you buy things?
A bit, yeah.
Do you know what I think? I think it's a man thing. I think it's a bloke thing. That if we want to buy something, we want to spend time researching and looking at reviews and
I think it's also
comparing. And
it's easier to do these days.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to go out and buy a specialist magazine in order to understand. You just, and you know, you can use the lazy web as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, each is great.
I think you get people
you know using it and giving their honest opinion.
I am a little bit lazy though with searching out a bargain. I'll just generally end up at Amazon and buy it there. I'm not very good at finding the cheapest offer.
So by now I'm tired of researching anything and would really like a one-click web app to tell me whether something's good or not.
Didn't you build one of those, John, with a certain company in New York?
Yeah, is it still running?
It got a little bit complicated, I think, unfortunately.
Actually, do you know what I often do? Google blog search. Because if people don't like something, they'll put it on their blog.
Uh-huh.
And if people really love something, they might put it on their blog.
Yeah. So you do a negative search.
So yeah, or basically do a search if anything kind of pops up.
Shite.
Often also have a little look on Flickr as well. Some people sort of put Flickr photos of their things, their tingy-tings, and do it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no kind of, you know, true unbiased one-stop shop for reviews, as far as I know, on anything. Yeah.
And is it a geek thing or a curse? No, I think it's good.
I think it's a man thing.
It's a man thing. It's a good thing. We have broadband. We have time.
Yeah. What was the last item you did research for, and did you finish and presumably buy it?
Ooh, difficult. I think probably my Wii. My penis Wii. Not my Wii Wii.
I did lots of research on the internet, and it turned out my own Wii was the best thing to buy.
Buy my own Wii. My mother could sell my own Wii back to me. What?
Oh, phrase hell.
Yes, right. What a badly named console that is. But yeah, I did the Wii because I was like, should I go for a PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, blah blah blah. Well, I knew I wouldn't get an Xbox 360.
But interesting, because a lot of people go for PlayStation 3s because they get a Blu-ray player and it's
Xbox
a bit of future.
Was kind of out of the loop for me because it's Microsoft and I don't like them.
I'm prejudiced.
Yes.
But I can understand why, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, I bought a Wii and I did research. Yes, I bought it.
Yeah. I think the last thing I researched was a telly.
Yeah.
I finally was going for a new telly, and this Samsung one that I got was voted best budget telly.
It's the one I nearly bought but didn't.
It's just good. Do you like
it? Don't remind me.
But yes, that was a lot of research online. So the second question, quickly.
Yeah.
If you really need another topic after that, I'm going to have to edit some of this down, sorry. What web apps do you both use, and apps you'd love to see that still isn't out there?
Aren't out there.
Yes, he's got bad English there. Still isn't out there. So, web apps do you use?
Google Mail, Google Calendar, Google Docs, Flickr, ConceptShare. I can't remember.
John comes to you sponsored by Google.
Yeah, ConceptShare is not Google. Evernote, I'm using a little bit. They've kind of got a web app. Not much, because I don't take many notes, you see, because I'd never see the need.
I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because there's so many new ones every week, and invites coming out, and I just don't have room in my life for lots of apps.
Google is my key set of apps, I have to say.
So I'd say Google Reader, Flickr, Last.fm, Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's about as much as I got time for already.
Last.fm kind of just works.
Yeah. I dip in for recommendations a lot. Now that it's got kind of 2 years worth of data on me, it's quite useful for dipping in for recommendations. So
to remind yourself of that Kylie album you haven't listened to for a while.
Hooray.
Right. Mark Weston. Info and shit, as you like to say.
Yes, shit and shit.
Afternoon, gents. So I've listened to your few of your podcasts in the last week, and they're pretty good.
But not all of them.
But not all of them. Next and they're only pretty good. They're not brilliant. They're not genius.
Not liking the crawling.
The general jib of your gist, young man. So I have to send him the how to crawl to an A-list of 101.
I like this next bit. Go and read this bit.
I like the sound of all this food you guys got about.
Yeah, it's crazy idea of food.
It's crazy food stuff. This is Mark Weston, the alien from Mars.
Can I just say, that was like at Oxford Geek Night a couple of weeks ago. Someone was overheard this conversation where one person was saying, I hear John Hicks is here tonight talking about cheese. And the other guy says, oh, I haven't heard of that framework. Sorry, I'm just saying the next one.
Very good.
So,
yes, that's funny. I just want to say that I found John's presentation at FOUD very useful. I got a fair few tips from that.
How not to do a presentation. Yes.
I'm on a workplace where I'm working as a web designer, more of a front-end developer, and I find that most of the time my lack of skill with Photoshop / Fireworks and general design skill hinders me loads when developing my site because I just think my design is shit and can't get into building it. Common problem. I come from a technical degree, plus, if I'm honest, I haven't spent as much time developing skills as I should have. Same old story.
It's the red arrows going over. We must salute.
Just a bit of authenticity there.
Yes.
I'm just wondering what qualifications you boys have in terms of design and computing, if any. I just heard you didn't do uni. Also, where do you find inspiration? Okay. Should we stop there and see if we're going to carry on?
I think that's a good place to do that one.
We've answered this question before, haven't we?
Have we?
We've got
university courses, haven't we? We talk about actual qualifications.
Yeah. Well, I've got none. I mean, none at all.
O-level metalwork.
Well, I've got a C in sociology.
A-level falconry. And
I've got a master's from the University of Life.
Masters of the Universe.
I'm married to She-Ra.
Poor old Esther. Sorry, poor Esther.
Oh, yeah, I was say, you want to be careful.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Also, where do you find inspiration? Do you want to? Have you got anything more? You've got a degree in. Cool.
I've got a HND in scientific illustration.
Nice.
And an ND in technical illustration. Nothing to do with
what's an ND? No deal.
I don't know, do
you? You're not having it. No certificate for you, young man.
National diploma.
Well, in that case, I've got a City and Guilds 706 cooking thing. And a.
And the bit of that actually said not on the certificate.
It does. Tip-exed it in. Makes my mum dead proud.
It is. Yes, look at that.
Actually, I must take a photo of that when I go home to see my mum. She's got my cooking certificates with a picture of me as a 17-year-old chef.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's got to be seen.
Super pride with my honours in health and hygiene. I know not to scratch my ass when I'm peeling beef. Peeling beef.
You had great ingredients in your kitchen.
No, I'm just more thinking about peeling beef. What a wonderful thought. Where do you find inspiration?
Oh, goodness, that's
under,
a whole new...
Under the bed, mostly. There it goes!
Everywhere.
That's not the same as being qualified. Actually, if we could remember a little audio note to put a link to that head of Pixar who directed The Incredibles.
Oh, Brad Bird.
Yes, that was a nice blog post about fostering children.
Because you know he also did some voices, like in The Incredibles, he did the Edna.
Oh, right.
Too much, darling, too much.
Oh, really?
That one. Yeah. He couldn't find anyone to do it, so he did it himself, I think.
Brilliant. But we'll link to that, because that's a good how to find inspiration.
Yeah.
But inspiration, you don't find inspiration, inspiration comes to you.
Yeah.
When you're doing your naked yoga.
You can have a look at my Creative Sponge presentation. It's got bits about that.
You're always pimping your presentation. I'm sick of it.
Not always.
Always. That's three
that
times in one show.
I know.
What is this? The John Hicks show? Oh, all right.
No.
Yeah,
no.
It is really.
Yes, we'll link to
that. Should we carry on a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I recently got hold of...
Oh, I see.
Who's that? Oh. I recently got hold of Fireworks CS3 after Fouled, because everyone seems to love it. And during your podcast, you've pointed out some very attractive qualities. Yes, darling. Oh, that it has over the likes of Photoshop. Is Photoshop, in your opinion, the thing to use when developing nice images and background, etc.? And Fireworks the thing to use for rapidly producing mock-ups and simple designs? Or is Fireworks pretty handy at all the design stuff itself?
Yes, I'll tell you, I tend to do anything like photo collage-y, actual photo-touching stuff, I would do in Photoshop, because that's definitely the best tool for the job. But... it depends on what kind of nice backgrounds and images it is. Because anything with vectors, I'll do it in Fireworks rather than Photoshop.
At Fireworks, there's a lovely job of gradients, editable gradients that you can.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, and it's actually the best gradient thing I've ever had. Because Photoshop and Illustrator have that thing where if you want to change the angle of the gradient, you have to do this kind of like mystery meat dragon pulling thing. And you have to keep doing it until you get the right bit. Fireworks actually gives you these little handles.
It's very refined.
So you know exactly where the gradient's going to finish and end and what angle it's. Brilliant. So, it's good eat.
Let's not go on about it too
much.
That's about it for now.
What is the fireworks show?
Yeah. The John Hicks fireworks show. That's it about it for now. Hopefully I won't have to wait 3 months for your answer. Well, we're recording.
What day is it today?
Oh, fucking hell. Quite a while after we've received.
It's the 9th of May. Yeah. So by the time it actually comes out, it'll be probably next year.
Well, December. So happy Christmas.
Yes. Okay, this is Ian Ride who says, Tally-hoo! I think he's turned it into a yodel, actually. Grid-based design. Grid-based design is something hot on the web design agenda. Do you guys employ this method layout? Can you elaborate on your typical process?
Yes, I do, and God, I love it.
Yes. Because before, if you don't use grids, you kind of spend a lot of time thinking, well, how big do I need to make this? Or, you know, how big should this gap be here? Or
One of the key things I've sort of got to with grid design is that you get out of that, I must have a main content and an aside. I've got, that is the look and feel for the entire site. Main content, smaller sidebar on the right-hand side. With grids, I've found myself thinking more on what does this page actually need to do?
Yeah.
So...
yeah, is it right to split it into four smaller cut columns each size?
So you're not sort of, it almost gives you the freedom not to be quite so boxed in by one. So I found that very, what's the word? Liberating.
Yeah. A lot of people don't see it that way. I think they don't use grids because they think it'll make everything straight line and boxy.
Well, you can break out once you've done all that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Because when you do break out the grid, that's when you can draw attention to something in design.
And that's another skill in itself.
Yeah. And you can do things like, you know, like negative margins to pull things out of grids and
absolute positioning as well.
Yeah.
You can pull things out there. And with the support of transparent PNG now on the up, that's got some big potential.
It's a skeleton, basically. Without the skeleton, it just becomes a lump of flesh.
I wasn't convinced to begin with, I have to agree, but as time's gone on, I love them. If you're not doing it, do it now.
So I'm chuckling because I'm reading the next question.
Go on.
Go on. Yeah, number two.
What made you take the quantum leap into freelance, and what finally gave you the large balls recruit?
Well, it was that shop where you brought your large balls.
Yeah, that big shop, yes. Large ball, please.
Gym balls, it's a done.
Could you build the top five list of prerequisites for budding freelancers? Yes.
Yes, next question.
But you have to send me a small payment.
Budding freelancers.
For somebody about to go freelancing.
Okay, five.
Five. One, make sure you've got a stash of savings.
Yeah. If possible, 3 months' salary ahead.
Yep.
Two, make sure you understand tax and VAT.
Yep, I've got fucked on that one.
Or have a very good account. Actually, yeah. Number three, hire a bookkeeper.
Yeah. Straight away.
Get someone to do, right from the word go, get your account sorted.
Yep.
And clean. Four.
Never undercharge. Charge properly from the offset.
Yep.
Otherwise, the thing about that, and why that's important, we've done this before, but if you charge too little, you're going to lose those clients later on because you're going to end up upping your prices and they'll be like, not interested.
And connected to that, I would say you always underestimate jobs.
Mm.
Remember, try and think of all the things that are going to happen in the job, like the meetings.
Mm.
Allow some space.
Yep.
Don't give yourself a fixed price that's going to be restrictive and run against problems. I've done that too many times.
Mm. And I like your tip that you've given before, is if you want to do some cheaper work and to build a portfolio, go and find a worthy charity or somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody who deserves to get something cheap.
Yep.
How many have we done?
That's five. But I was going to say the alternative for number five was don't work too much.
No, take weekends off if you can.
Get separation.
And if I can add another one to that, make sure that if you've got a family, as in wife and children, that they're on board for this. Because if they're not, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Are we going to go for number three quickly?
Yeah.
What is your history of computer games, consoles since being a wee young one? Okay.
Ooh.
BBC Micro.
Yeah.
BBC Micro broke and went back to Currys for fucking 7 years, so Acorn Electron, then BBC Micro, Atari. Actually, the Atari came before the BBC. Yep. Then PlayStation. Then Wii.
Hmm.
Oh, PlayStation Portable, then Wii.
Goodness me. My first ever one was a handheld single game called Scramble.
Oh, now you're going back to handhelds.
You know, we had like one game and it was great though. I love the Scramble. Acorn Electron, especially things like Chucky Egg and Donkey Kong. Big gap, didn't really do any kind of video games until PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
And big gap between PlayStation 1 and now we've got a Wii.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, yeah, thanks for those. Good questions.
Now, I was supposed to be asking our questions for the last one, but I gave it to you and then...
Oh, it's all gone to shit.
So,
go on, you ask it.
Chad Kaufman says, have you seen this guy? What are your reactions? Do you think he's missing any lines in his rap? Can you sing them? So, we'll put the link on the blog.
It's the rapping coder guy, isn't it? Now, what's his name? Let's make sure we get his name right, at least.
The Poetic Prophet or something?
Yeah, something like that. Mo Serious is,
truth is, by the time this comes out...
It'll be old school.
I mean, it's old news already, but it's... By the time this comes out, it'll be even older news. I'd love it. Isn't it great? You know, don't use the bold tag because it's old and wrong.
I can't watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I only get so far.
Look, if it works for some people and it's pushing web standards in an interesting way.
Absolutely.
But for me,
I'm not the audience.
I'm definitely not the audience.
I'm a white working class, aspiring middle class, country aspiring gentleman.
You are middle class, John. You went to a deli for your lunch today.
I know.
I came in with homemade bread and corned beef on it.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
yeah,
yes.
That asparagus and bean salad.
Shush. That'll never do. I'll be lynched. But yes, I think, not for me, but good if it works for certain people.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that one out, Chad.
Oh, God.
Go on then.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Paul Colnaghi.
Colnaghi?
I don't know. Blah, blah, blah.
Isn't that blah, a blah, sushi? Colnaghi.
Probably. Sounds more like a beer to me. I was wondering if you could help me with some photographic advice. We currently use an old digital compact camera, but I'd like to graduate to something more serious. Can you recommend a digital SLR for newbies like me, or maybe a digital compact that shoots raw?
Raw.
This thing shoots raw. Whatever that means.
I say, what are you shooting?
Raw. Paul Colnaghi sent from my iPhone. Certainly not recommending the iPhone. See why I need to upgrade.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got a camera that shoots raw, but it's a couple of years old now, so I probably wouldn't recommend
it. Go Minolta.
No, not Minolta. No. Can't even remember what make it is now. It's nice. It's a bit old. But over to you, because...
Right. Yes, because one thing about SLRs is that they make very good automatic cameras. My wife has just got a Canon 40D, which is one of the less expensive ends of the SLR market, and it's bloody brilliant.
Mm.
It's great. And I think, you know, it depends on where you are in the world, but certainly Amazon over here, you can pick it up for, I think, what was it, about 400 odd pounds, I think it was. Gosh. I mean, it's really, the digital SLRs have really come down in price. There's also on eBay, there's a Canon, like a refurb store or a second store where you can pick up stuff cheap, especially as if you do happen to have an old manual SLR, like a Canon one, you can fit the lens.
Oh, fit all the lenses, yeah.
And just get the body. That's just what we did with Lee's camera. But yeah, basically, if you look at Flickr, the Flickr do a graph of which camera is being used, and it tells you which popular ones are.
Yeah.
And certainly the 40D is up there.
Mm.
It's a very popular one.
And you said it does a really nice job in auto as well.
Yeah.
So you're
not
like, oh my God.
It's cool. Very much.
Okay.
So.
I seem to be going a lot today.
Yeah, me too.
We haven't had enough chocolate.
Some chap I never heard of. I once told a conference audience that I'd like to kick Robin Christofferson's guide dog. What is the most politically incorrect thing you've ever said or written in public? I'm out of this one. This is you. You take it.
I just... What?
Too many, or do you want to say, or...
Well, no, I was just thinking that, you know, telling somebody that you want to kick their guide dog is just trying to be controversial. It's just trying too
hard. Yeah, it sounds forced controversy, doesn't it?
It
Andy
does.
Clark.
Yes, Andy Clark. I think, you know, most... Yeah, oh, I don't know. What's the most politically incorrect... probably this morning when I called my missus a bitch, you know, to get back to the washing up before I hit her around. I don't know.
I wish I had a good answer for this one, but
I can't remember, because most of the things I say like that
controversial.
When I'm drunk, somebody repeats them.
Oh yes, exactly.
They get repeated back to you the next day. I don't know. Right, Matt Ham. Hold on, Matt Ham. Question: what's the meaning of life, and how was the universe created?
The geek answer is
42.
The real answer is
42.
The meaning of life is to be excellent to each other.
Most excellent.
Oh, damn. I missed that one, didn't I? Let's be most excellent to each other. How was the universe created? With great difficulty.
Yeah, with a large hammer. Wasn't it some guy in a caravan cooking pancakes?
Yes. Or some guy coming home drunk like trying to deep fry his own chips.
I think we need a link to an Eddie Izzard.
The resulting explosion.
Skip there.
Yeah.
Kelvin, have you been outside playing with the temperature again?
Oh,
that's
the Kelvin
brilliant
jokes.
That is brilliant.
I think that's the best answer. We'll link to that. That'll be the way around.
Otherwise, it's far too deep. God, we've come to the end of the questions.
Yeah.
Are we going to shoot through a couple more, see if we can find some?
Well, I've come to the end of the episode 10 label, and I've got the working in porn thing.
Yeah, I don't. I just think I don't want to do it yet.
Okay. Well, how many? How was our time so far?
Well, we're quite. We're only at 30 minutes. So about time the edit. We're going to be quite there. A couple more.
Yeah.
Ah, there's one. Gentlemen, shall I go for it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do it?
No, I don't know what you're looking at. So.
Well, I was going to say let's pick one each, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. This is Michael Montgomery. Gentlemen. Excellent podcast. Do they say jolly good over there, or is that just lame? Jolly lame. My question is about visual design, how to make things pretty. Controversial. Mm-hmm. I've learned valid, meaningful semantic markup, cascading style sheets for presentation, and a wee bit of JavaScript. Read 100 feeds on various topics, including information, blah, blah, blah. However, I'm bewildered by examples on the gallery sites. How exactly do they do that in Photoshop or whatever? Articles on visual design skills, Photoshop tutorials seem to be non-existent, not well-written, focused on print design, or assume art school. Art school, which being getting drunk and shagging women.
Now, yeah. Gone, yeah.
Books and seminars are no better, mostly directed at photographers. How does one learn the practical skills to make graphic designs for the web? Best regards, yeah. Michael Montgomery.
When we did mention about being print design focused, that's not a bad thing.
No, I think
there's a lot to learn about design. You know, design is design. Okay, there's special things for each medium. Like yeah. That was a fantastic face. Can you do that again? I wish I could. Yeah, I wish I could take a photo of that.
Yes, design, print design, yeah. Fantastic medium.
Yes, but design is design, and you have to make changes for each medium, but there's still general principles of design that are worthwhile. Now, in particular, there's a book I'm trying to think of, and I think I'll put it on the links, but it's something like explaining design to children, and it sounds a bit patronising to do it that way, but I think if you want a good starter on visual design, go for this, and it was talked about things like the golden ratio in ways that you can actually understand rather than.
I think I'm going to order a copy
using
of that.
A calculator, which is great, but for learning web design, practice. I mean, I would probably say designing web standards as a good starting point. That's got me started.
Mm. Look at the
bookshelf right now.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Experiment as well.
Yeah.
Think just of an do idea. It. Yeah, just do it. Just practice.
Stop talking.
I quite like that childlike approach, though. Don't be scared.
Yes.
Just experiment. It doesn't matter if you fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you have to be I'm trying to be careful about how I say this, but copying other people's work for your own personal development is a good idea, but just don't put it on a website anywhere. Yeah. But go to somebody's website whose design you like. And try and build it for yourself.
Yeah, view source. I think that's the best.
View source. Yeah, I think you learn a lot by constructing other people's designs. That's another thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good at HTML and CSS, work with designers and construct their designs, because in doing so, you can teach yourself a little bit about designering.
Especially if you can get a variety of designers, because everyone does it differently. And it's
yes, and it's fucking frustrating. Bastards.
So yeah, I'd recommend that book for general, and then. To be honest, I still can't think of one book. I mean, there's lots of the do the technical side.
There's a Brendan Dawes one I quite like, which I can't remember the
drag slide fade.
No, that's purely flash. It's about it's kind of an inspirational sort of thing. I'll find that and link to that.
Oh yes, yeah, another one. Yep.
And of course, go to joshuadavis.com and see web art in action.
I think that's a good important point. Actually, don't. Stick to these CSS showcase
no,
sites.
No, because you'll be bored shit.
Or web standards only.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah. To be honest, a lot of the exciting stuff isn't web standards out there.
The thing about web standards design is because of what it is, and I'm not slagging it off, but it does tend to follow trends, and then you'll see like at the moment, it's all grids, isn't it? Black and white grids and typography. So you get stuck in a bit of a rut. Go and look at some good Flash sites as well and see some interesting UIs.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
I don't think we've got time for any more.
Oh, it is 4 o'clock.
Gone through our list as well. So I think that's us for this one.
All right. Right. We should be releasing this in about 16 weeks from now then.
Well, set the timer. Excellent. Well, thank you for listening.
I'd say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Shut up, Pip.
It was worth waiting for.
I have to leave that pause in.
See you next time.